Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a new episode of the RSL show, the Real Salt Lake show on KSL Sports. I'm Andy Munoz, and I'm joined with Joshua Clark. Josh, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good, Andy. How are you today, sir?
Fantastic. We are without Alex. Alex is out doing things with KSL Sports at the moment. Really good turnout for NHL. That was really cool to see down at the Delta Center. Full arena, full crowd, and I'm pretty sure Alex would be covering that too. So,
how are you feeling about that? Are you feeling excited
about hockey?
Yeah.
I'm excited. If Ryan Smith holds true with polling the fans and going with the top pick or the top voted name, I think that would be really cool. But I feel like a lot of people hold polls and they've already got the decision made. Like the whole pitch deck and the branding and the whole team, everything, it's already picked out. So I don't know. I don't know if that's an actual thing, but there's a lot of stuff out there, speculation, thinking that the name will be either Utah Blizzard, Utah Eagles, or Utah Ice, or even Utah Hockey Club.
I think it'll be Utah Hockey Club for a year or two until they figure out what they really want to name it.
Yeah, a lot of mixed reception to Blizzard, but Blizzard would make sense because of the Z's.
Oh, I hate it. I do not want to be the Utah Blizzard. Let's not do that, please.
Initially, when all the names were being thrown out, it started with Salt Lake or Salt Lake City, and I actually think it's smart that he just went with Utah.
I agree.
So, very inclusive, all inclusive. People saying that they should be called the Utah Scorpions, but personally, dude, I've never seen a scorpion in the wild ever here.
My thing is, let's not name it something after Southern Utah. You know what I mean? Like, they're playing in Northern Utah. Let's keep it relative to the state, but not related to Southern Utah.
Yeah, it would make more sense to name it like Utah Brown Recluse or something. Like, I see those spiders all the time.
Black Widows.
Yeah, dude. Remember when we were cleaning all that wood on the side of your house? And dude, there were like spiders all over us.
They were everywhere, dude. It was gross.
Everywhere. Well, enough hockey talk. That sounded like honky tonk.
That's a better name than the Blizzard, the honky tonks.
Yeah, dude. And that would actually make sense, dude. Name it after the Westerner crowd out there. You know, Utah Outlaws is one that I see. I don't think a super conservative Mormon state would go for outlaws.
I mean, maybe.
I don't think so. I just don't see it. If it did happen, there'd be so much backlash, like people would reject it.
I mean, the amount of backlash we're going to get, period, for whatever name we choose, whether we like it or not, it could be the best name they could have come up with, but there's still going to be a backlash. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and if they do Utah Hockey Club, which abbreviated is Utah HC, that actually serves a big populace here of like the old hardcore scene from 2005, 2006, dude, imagine.
Or the insurance company, UHC Healthcare or whatever it is, United Healthcare. Yeah.
I saw the NHL like Utah pucks and I really want one. And I remember getting a puck from like a Grizzlies game when I was like 12 years old and it was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if I could catch a hockey puck for an NHL team that was in Utah, I'd be so pumped.
Dude.
I got one at an Avalanche game a few years back, and it was like the highlight of my life for a minute. So
I don't think you catch them as much as like they hit you in the face, bro. One of my all-time memories as a child growing up in the great state of Utah was going to the Grizzlies game. And I remember, dude, this guy just slammed it towards it's like a digital display and the puck just like ricocheted, dude. And as the lady was turning back to like, look, it just clobbered her in the face, dude. And there was blood and they had like towels and they were like escorting her out. I'm so happy they put up nets, dude, because yeah, they're going to have to do that in Delta Center because that place already feels like so tight and so squeezed.
Yeah. Have you seen what it looks like with an ice rink, though? Like that?
Yeah, I just saw it. They did it for the presentation.
It's not as intimate as it is for Jazz games. So, like, in certain spots, you're pretty far away.
Still, though, bro. Pucks?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I wonder how fast pucks travel. It's got to be fast, dude.
Oh, yeah. Like, fast as a fastball, easily, if not faster.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see everything that comes with that. And then we'll see how it competes. Only so many days in a week where they can have matches. Obviously, they're going to be working an opposite schedule of the Jazz, clearly, will it conflict with the MLS season? I don't know. I need to look at the NHL schedule.
I don't think it will. The crossover is pretty minimal, like right there in the playoffs right now. Mm. So it starts in, I believe, October. So that's kind of when the playoffs are for MLS. So there's not a lot of overlap there, which is nice. Yeah. I think the edge that RSL still holds on, you know, NBA and NHL is ticket prices.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's really going to affect RSL's crowds.
Yeah. No, but it'll be cool, man. I one thing I love about the Delta Center is it really does get so loud in there. When I used to go like shoot the Jazz games, it was just incredibly loud. And I thought that, you know, maybe Jazz fans would just say, or kind of like wear it on their shoulder that, you know, they're one of like the craziest home atmospheres. But after traveling and going to like a few Utah Jazz away games for like the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
even with larger stadiums, like I remember when they played the Mavs, it was just like, there's no comparison.
It gets so loud. Yeah, it's a valid flex.
Yeah, it really is cool, man. So, no, I'm excited, dude. More sports in Utah. Hopefully we can get a Major League Baseball team here soon. That'd be pretty rad. I would love that.
I'd rather have hockey than baseball any day.
Yeah, we could take hockey first. Absolutely. But eventually, I'd like a team.
We'll see.
The likelihood of getting like a dumb team that no one would care about is pretty high because those are the only teams that get moved around. Like, you'd never get the Dodgers to Salt Lake City. You'd never get the Padres to Salt Lake City.
No, it'll be
like
the Tampa Bay Rays, right?
Yeah, dude.
It'll definitely require a rebrand.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about some positive things with Real Salt Lake. We're going to keep this episode brief and just get right into it. This is a match that you, myself, and Alex, we called it. Chicago Fire is a team that is predominantly, they've always been on the struggle bus. They've really been minimal on the ranks. They've never really been a standout team. In fact, I think one of the only memories that I have is when, Bean's friends on the team? He went to go play there for a few seasons.
Lavelle Palmer.
Yeah. He instantly got traded to the Fire after he missed his PK for us. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. I actually went to Chicago to watch him with Bean.
Yeah. Those are my only memories of Chicago Fire. And sometimes they pop up on the schedule. A result might go against you, or you might have a result go in your favor, like the one that did just this past weekend. I don't think any of us had a scoreline that high, let alone a shutout. Clearly, a lot of people are happy with the result. And now this game has just reinforced the MVP talks with Chicho Arango. Josh, I just got to say, bro, a few episodes ago, you had said that you thought he was losing his legs towards the end of the match, maybe fizzling out, getting tired. Do you still feel that way?
I mean, I still worry that we're going to wear him ragged or run him dry. You know what I mean? Run him ragged because there's still no out and out backup for him. But he's doing his thing, man. It's incredible to have a striker that's putting up numbers. It's been a long time for us. If he can continue, you know, at this pace, I'm pumped. But I still think at some point you got to give him a rest in the 80th or the 70th, you know? You don't want him to wear out or get hurt. It's still a concern for me, just like the center backs were a concern, and what do you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm just loving what I'm seeing out of Chicho. He is a player who commands wins. He wants to go out there and win every single game. And I mean, he's just one of the greatest signings that we've had.
He could be not, we're not talking Mount Rushmore, right, of RSL legends, but as far as like actual transfers in, he may be number one already.
There's no one that I could think of that would even compare at this point, because right now he's in MVP talks.
We're talking fanfare. We're talking dollar signing.
Everything.
All of it. Yeah.
You even got Taylor Twellman going on MLS and talking about Chicho and how much of a contributor he is and how he's already projecting him to be the league MVP, or at least closing out strong. And Taylor Twellman is usually someone who doesn't really speak about MLS, at least in the recent last few, or sorry, RSL.
RSL, yeah.
In the last few seasons, right? So we look at the rankings currently, and it's a pleasant surprise that Arango is 9 matches played, 8 goals, sitting above Messi, who's only played 6 matches. We'll give him that, but he's got 7 goals. So he's, so far, beating Messi by 1 goal. And then you've got Lewis Morgan of the New York Red Bulls, which I haven't been paying attention to any of that.
Red Bulls are good this year, man.
Yeah, man, it looks like it, because they're also stacked on the assist side too. But we've got something special in Arango. A lot of big names here on this list. We've got Lionel Messi. You got Suarez, Boanga, Santiago Rodriguez. I mean, just like the big names in the league. And that's, like I've said before in many other podcasts, it's something that we've missed on Real Salt Lake. We haven't had a presence, someone that is recognized by other fan bases.
Yeah, it's definitely been a hot minute since we've had anyone that's been, I mean, if ever, nationally recognized like Chicho Arango is.
So before we go into the goals and we talk about everything we loved about this match, what was different? The style of play or just the tactics or what Pablo implemented?
I think the guys were just up for it. You know, in the high points of last season when we saw that really high press, a lot of energy from the guys, making it very difficult for the opposing team. I think that's what we did the best, right? Chicago was suffocated off the ball anytime they had it. Not to say they didn't have chances, right? Gavin Beavers had some big-time saves, and there was some great defensive work in the midfield. But really, this is just the game that we expect to see from RSL, right? The high press, just ruthless attacking, right? I mean, we could have had a couple more goals easily in this one. So for me, it's just being ruthless and putting teams to bed when we should put teams to bed. That's what we saw on Saturday.
Absolutely. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Fidel Barajas. Crooks had some moments in this match as well. Obviously, Andres Gomez. I mean, just a well-rounded and just stacked offense.
I mean, minus the back line, right? We can't ignore the fact that we didn't have a single center back in this game until our new signing pulled up, but that's just an even bigger testament to how we played.
Got Catranis, Oviedo, Hidalgo, and Brody.
Right.
Out of those four, who would you say the weakest link would be out of those four? I mean, clearly playing out of position.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a more of a right back / winger, it's going to be a bigger adjustment for Hidalgo. But he did well, right? And Oviedo did well. I think Catranis was an absolute beast. I hope his injury isn't too serious. He's been a signing, man. Flying under the radar, excellent signing so far. So, yeah. I mean, height-wise, it's hard for Bodie and for Oviedo to really be center backs, but they did the job. And the midfield did well to protect him.
It is tough to pick apart a match where you're 4-0. It's like, do you want to pick apart a match? I think that this is a pretty well-rounded starting 11, minus, like you mentioned, the missing center backs. But somehow or some way or another, we still showed up on the road. And I know that we've had more success on the road than we have at home here. But a 4-0 is even something that I didn't predict going into Chicago.
Yeah, I thought we would concede at least one, right, with the situation we were in going into it. So the fact that we got a clean sheet, I believe it was Beaver's first clean sheet, huge props to the guys.
Should we break down the goals and talk about our favorites?
I don't think we need to break them down, but we can talk about our favorites.
All right, let's do that. I like that idea. So which of the four goals was your favorite, Josh Mier?
Oh, that's a tough one, man. Like, Gomez is a nice little left foot doink. You know, you have Chicho on a bad pass going backwards with a nice outside of the foot finish. And then I loved his header, right? Just a textbook with pace, unmarked. But I think my favorite is going to be Diego Luna's, even though it was the least like wow goal. But man, that touch bringing down the ball from Chicho and then just freezing the defense and tucking it away. It was just a thing of beauty, man. Thing of beauty.
Yeah, man. I mean, that ball that Chicho played to him, it was a picked out pass, but it was still a lot of power behind it.
Yep.
And it almost looked like it was going to be dummied by Diego. You're right, dude. To bring it down and control, shift, shot, thing of beauty, man.
Yep.
We've been lacking people who can in that moment, especially from that far out.
Yeah, like Musovski would have not have done that.
No.
You know?
No, man. It was a beautiful team goal. You've got Chicho just kind of doing a little bit of a hold-up play and then picking out his pass and finding Diego. And like I mentioned, it's his first of the goal. Not sure what the history is there, but a beeline run over to Pablo and just gives him a hug.
Yeah, and that was probably the best part of the whole goal. How often do you see a player run over and hug his coach after he gets his first goal of the season?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. So that's something I like to see.
My favorite goal out of all of the four that took place, it's not the beautiful header. It's not Diego Luna's composure and calmness on the ball. For me, it's going to be simple. Real Salt Lake laying on the pressure, forcing the defensive mistake, giving the ball away, and Chicho just being persistent and always trying to find the angle is in a position to score. Is it the most beautiful goal? No, but it's like the hungriest goal. It's like what you want right. to see it's, out of your
everything forward. Leading up to it. It's, yeah. it's the whole package, right? The whole team package.
And because Chicho has that mindset to always be pressuring, always be attacking, anticipating the ball to be played up to him, or at least, I don't know. It's a weird feeling, man. When you're playing up front, when you just expect the ball at your feet, there's just something. There's something out there, man. Like the ball knows, and it just gravitates towards you. And call it crazy, but I think it's a real thing. And I think Chicho's got that, dude. It's like what we used to see with Wondolowski, right?
I was just going to say that. It's somehow the ball, he's in the right spot no matter what.
Exactly.
Shows up at his feet. Yep.
Exactly. And if you want to think about it and take that even further, the ball that was played into the header to Chicho, sure, he made his run, and I'm sure they practiced those all the damn time in practice. But, dude, to be open, unmarked, in front of the keeper, header, on a beautifully played whip-in, like it's, I don't know, man. There's just something magical about Odongo is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he's a magical player, one we've never had. And it's a blessing that we do have him now. And he seems happy.
Yeah,
that's the big part. We have a big name player that seems happy. Something yep. that no one on the national stage thinks RSL can accomplish.
And we've seen the opposite end of that, where Chicho wasn't getting service, saw the frustration. And now the team's meshing. It's positive, good vibes. As of Saturday, we were number one. Granted, there were more games to be played on Sunday, but that was a good feeling. And I can't recall the last time that we were sitting first place with a few matches under our belt.
Right. Just the fact that we can even be in the conversation to move up to first place. Usually it's, oh, we're going to move up to eighth. We'll be in playoff position. Cool.
No more waiting for those like wild card matches and seeing if we're going to be in. Yeah. It's a beautiful
hoping there's some goals scored in a different game, so we get in by goal differential or something. I mean, yeah. Granted, it is a long season. We could absolutely be having this conversation come out, you know, September. But for right now, vibes are good.
Even with the depth that we may be lacking, even with like the missing pieces on the defensive side that we're lacking, like I still feel pretty good. It's going to take a team to really lay on the pressure.
And I think we're going to get that this weekend.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah. I think we're going to see that this weekend with a Philadelphia Union who's got 4 wins and 3 draws, no losses.
Yeah, they're a good side. They got a lot of good attacking pieces. Like, it's going to be a real test for RSL. Even with healthy center backs, it's still going to be a test.
The only positive side I would say to this is it is an away match. It's on the road.
Yep.
We can anticipate a Real Salt Lake to show up. I don't know why, dude. I don't know why we haven't figured out the home thing. It's a concurring conversation that we have on this podcast. But yeah, we have a stretch of matches that are coming up that are pretty tough. We've got Philadelphia Union. We've got our nemesis, Sporting KC. And then it looks like a U.S. Open Cup match against New Mexico United. No one really cares about that. But then, on May 11th, we're going to play LA Galaxy, dude.
So out of that group of 3-4 games, which one are you the most nervous for?
LA Galaxy, without a...
I think I agree.
No hesitation.
I agree. They're a scary side right now, but defensively, they're also kind of lacking. So I think when we play LA, it could be one of those really fun slugfests, like 4-3, 5-4 kind of games, and that could be a good time.
That would be a fun away match for those who want to get out on the road on May 11th. Head on out. We've done that trip a few times. Yeah, Josh?
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's an easy one to do. You know, quick 11-hour drive, however long it takes you. Go out to Carson, California, hit the beach before. It's a fun little game.
So the outlook is really good right now on Real Salt Lake. And there's plenty of post-conference soundbites on the RSL Show YouTube if you guys want to go check that out. Get more insight from Pablo. I know they spoke to Chicho as well. There's just a lot of media shifting, even locally, outside of KSL that's starting to go to the practices and training. So when the team does well, just know that everyone is interested and there's a lot of content out there.
Weird how that happens, huh?
Oh, yeah. Trey is so happy right now. Anyway, we just wanted to hop on real quick and have a chat with you guys, check in. We'll be back with a full team, full staff after we play Philadelphia Union. Find a place to go watch that game, and we will see you guys on the next episode of the RSL Show on KSL Sports.